Hey guys, it's Chris from the WDW Review, just reminding you to check out the Theme Park Brothers on YouTube. The Theme Park Brothers has some of the best Central Florida attraction videos. They've got videos and footage from Universal, from SeaWorld, from Legoland, and from Disney, including resorts and parks. Check them out now as they undertake the biggest challenge and change in their life as they're relocating. So again, on Twitter, they're at Theme Park Boys. On Facebook, they're the Theme Park Brothers. And their YouTube channel is the Theme Park Brothers. Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I am your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-hosts. First off, Stacy Nyman. How are you, Stacy?
I'm great.
Excellent. Peter Ponicorvo, how are you, big guy?
I am well enough.
Well enough is good enough for me. All right. Well, let's expand upon the well enough, at least. What makes you well enough, buddy?
Let's see. Computer's working tonight.
Okay.
Which is a step in the right direction from the last time we tried to talk.
Technology!
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can call it that.
You look like you got some rest. You're well rested?
I got some sleep after yesterday, yeah, finally.
Okay.
29 hours awake, so.
This is a good thing. You're almost a human being today, right, Pete?
Almost.
All right. Stacy, you were excellent. What was that for?
Yeah.
Give me something good.
I wasn't physically at work today, so I had a work from home day, so that was kind of relaxing. And we have a weekend away this weekend, so we're going to go to Indianapolis for Sophie's cheer competition, and really looking forward to getting out of town.
Okay, let me ask you another question then. I know Sophie was involved in like cheerleading last year, but this is different now. This is based upon older girls, or is this a step up, a little more competitive?
Yeah. It's an elite team, which basically means that we're just paying a lot more money for pretty much the same thing. But it's great. I mean, for the most part, it's just a really, it's an awesome team, and a lot of good, you know, good social skills being learned and everything. So I wouldn't trade it, but you know, it's basically paying more money for,
you know,
for cheerleading.
Pete and I, we have really fond memories, and we were on the elite cheerleading team as well, too.
Oh, yeah, you guys, yeah, I heard some really great things about you in the past.
Yeah.
Where Chris learned his round-off skills.
You know? Yeah. I still think I owe you, actually, a cartwheel.
You do?
I haven't done it. Okay, I'm making a note right now. I owe you one cartwheel. I'll make sure you see it, so. All right, let's get into the show, but before we do, I want to throw a couple questions at you, and, you know, I've heard other broadcasts recently where, you know, how can I say this? The conversation doesn't quite flow quite right because some of these questions are rather polarizing. So not to get into a big debate of yes or no, but I'm going to mention some headlines and tell me in your mind, does it help Disney? Does it hurt Disney? Do you like it or don't you like it? And then we won't even expand. Just kind of know where we stand. Does that sound good?
Yep.
All right. Pete, sound good?
It sounds like it'll be something.
It'll be something. Right. All right.
I don't know, man.
Let's start off with a softball, all right? Cirque du Soleil, instead of La Nuba, there's a new Cirque show coming to Disney Springs. What do you think, Pete? Good for Disney? Bad for Disney?
I don't think it makes a difference for Disney.
Okay. Are you good for you? Bad for you?
No. I have no desire to see it.
Okay, Stacy.
I didn't see La Nuba in all the years it was there. I don't plan on going to this one either.
Stacy, what do you think? Good for Disney, bad for Disney?
I have the absolute same answer as Pete. Very, very neutral on this.
Interesting, because, you know, I think I'd be tempted to go, but it's like I almost need to know that, like, that day is going to be a complete washout. Like, it's going
right.
to be torrential rain, and then it's like, okay, I don't mind. I'll spend the money for the family to go. Interesting. So we've got three kind of like Disney experts. Okay. Two Disney experts and Chris, who is not far from it. And we're all kind of like, right? For Cirque du Soleil.
Here's how I'll give you a. We've had Blue Man Group in Chicago for how many years?
Forever.
Never seen it.
Okay. Stacey, have you seen something like that in Chicago?
I have not seen it, no.
We need some culture. See? We got to get some culture. Okay. Moving on. Let's go to item two. Disney Springs Resort Hotels. Okay, ready? Getting 60-day fast passes. Good for Disney, bad for Disney. Stacey.
I don't know if it's good or bad for Disney at all. I don't know. I don't know if you can really say it's good or bad for Disney necessarily.
Okay. Pete, good for Disney, bad for Disney.
I think it ends up being good for Disney. They get some PR out of the deal saying, hey, look, we're not so far up our own that, you know, only our people are going to get this.
Okay.
It's bad for the people that are staying on property.
Just because it expands the how many resorts have it, is what you mean?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's going to put that 60-day window open to a lot more people.
Okay, let me ask you this.
It's going to make it more difficult for people to get the fast passes they want.
Okay, let me frame it this way then for both of you. You can either say, I consider it or I won't. $129 over at the best Disney Springs Good Neighbor Resort Hotel or $129 for All-Star Sports? Stacey, what do you think? Because you get the same perks?
I think I'd still do All-Star Sports.
Peter, how about you?
I'm not staying at All-Star Sports.
Okay, so you're picking the best resort they have if it was $129 a night.
If it's the same price and I still get transportation, what do I care?
Yeah. All right, so that's the deal. So I guess all the Disney Springs Good Neighbor Resort hotels now get the 60-day. This is for a limited time, I'm sure, or this is a trial period, not indefinitely. They get the 60-day booking window on FastPass Plus, which is huge, right? And do you remember, Pete, what else do they receive? They receive another nice benefit. Do you remember what that was?
Extra magic hours.
They get the extra magic hours as well, too. They get the morning hour or the evening, too. And I've even seen it as late as 3 in previous years, 3-hour extension. So they get extra magic hours and a 60-day FastPass. So if you're not really committed to that Disney magic and you're looking for a great value, this is a really good time to check out those Disney Springs Good Neighbor Resort hotels. You get almost all the same benefits. Let's talk about, Pete, let's talk about, well, okay, this is kind of an unfair question. You've not seen this before. I was going to say, let's talk about Pixar Pier in Disneyland, but let's just talk in generalities. They're doing a complete retheming of the boardwalk area at California Adventure. And they're retheming it to Pixar Pier. Mickey's Fun Wheel, which is their signature like icon in that boardwalk area. Every car of the Fun Wheel is getting rethemed as a new Pixar character. And there's a complete Pixar, I don't even want to use the word overlay, because it's almost like a Pixar immersion, though not nearly as in-depth as Cars Land, because it's kind of retrofitted to the place. So what do you think about taking an existing successful area and putting an IP to it so involved that it takes over the area now? Good for Disney, bad for Disney, good for guests, bad for guests. What's your opinion?
You know, it's one of those things. It just seems to be the way they're doing business now, where IP is everything. So I think eventually people are going to tire of seeing nothing but the same IPs over and over again.
Good point.
And eventually it's going to become a bad thing for them, I think. But
Stacey, good. You know, I want to actually bring it up in about a second. Stacey, what do you think?
I think that, I don't know, it's, if I kind of translate this over to Walt Disney World, you know, something that I have a personal connection to, if they took something that I knew and loved and they completely did an overlay on it like that, I probably would be not very happy. So for the guests, maybe, I guess it depends on each individual person. I'm sorry, I'm very wishy-washy tonight. I would say good for Disney initially. But like Pete said, I think it will end up being bad for Disney, and they'll probably end up changing it again.
You know, Pete, that was a good point. I hadn't considered that. You know, you've got Toy Story Land, you got Slinky Dog Coaster. You're right. There are, I know they're not the same coast by 4,000 miles, but you're right. If you keep on seeing the same characters with the same IPs over and over and over again, it's almost nice knowing when you go to Epcot. And, okay, by no means am I saying the Frozen attraction was a mistake, but it was almost nice seeing something as a breath of fresh air when you walked into Maelstrom, and it was genuinely Maelstrom, so to speak. You know, though, even the Donald character at the Ride in Mexico Pavilion, I know that's an IP. It's Donald. It's the Tres Caballeros. I know that. But you don't see it everywhere. And I do think that's a good point about the inundation of all the IPs everywhere now. I hadn't considered that.
Good. Well, then have they come up with an original, like, standalone attraction in the last 10 years that isn't connected to a movie or a TV show in some way?
Stacy, help me think.
I'm thinking of Everest, but I don't know how long ago Everest was. That was obviously, that would have been
sure
close
Everest
to that.
Longer than that now.
You know what? I'm sure there is, but I can't think of anything either. The test track refurbishment, that was just an update. But that was longer than 10 years.
Okay, Everest opened in 06, so that doesn't trip it.
You're right. I mean, it's all upon moving their intellectual properties. That's what IP stands for. It's all upon moving, their marketing, and I get that. But you know what? There is something nice about going to the park with something completely exclusive, completely dedicated to that park you won't see anywhere else. And I get that point, too. Interesting. Interesting thought. I think we learned something. Heck, when we were just in our last show with our Tokyo Disneyland report with Jesus, they've got things like Journey to the Center of the Earth. That, I know, is a Jules Verne novel. That's nowhere else. That's theirs. You know? So, good point. Okay, let's get off this topic. Let's jump to our show. You guys ready to get into the show today? Ready to make some enemies and make some friends? Like, that's
Betty.
Not what we've done already, but anyways.
I'm pretty sure I got plenty of enemies coming.
That's what we're based upon, Pete. You know, our show.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have one on the show before the end of it, so whatever.
All right, here we go. Here's what we debated in our text string as Chris wakes you up in the morning with a ridiculously early text string because I think of these things in the middle of the night. Don't ask me why. I have no idea.
Do me a favor. Write it down next time, by the way, and text me after 10 o'clock.
6:40 in the morning. All right. I thought it'd be interesting to list our best four themed Disney resort hotels or Disney resorts. Not your favorite four, the best themed resorts. I also thought it'd be a good idea to list your worst themed, your bottom four. The ones you think completely lost the theming, it doesn't resonate with you, it's convoluted, any number of reasons. So let's go with our best themed resorts and our worst themed resorts. Now, we're going to restrict these to Florida. So we're not including Vero, we're not including Hilton Head, we're not including California, Hawaii, any of those. It's got to be restricted to Florida. I guess Vero is Florida.
I was just going to say, Vero Beach is in Florida. So do I have to continue scratching that off my list, come up with something else on the fly, or can we leave good enough alone?
No, you cannot. It must be in the center of the state, Pete. It must be in the center of the state.
Fine, whatever.
Ladies first. What do you want to lead with, Stacey? You want to go with best or you want to go with worst? And don't give us all. Give us two from one of them.
Okay, so I'm going to go start with best.
Okay.
And just because I know that Pete will take this one if I don't take it. And I'm going to go with the Polynesian as the best themed resort at Walt Disney World.
That's your number one.
Number one.
It's your absolute best themed.
Yes.
Okay.
Tell me why.
Because it just evokes nostalgia, number one. I mean, it's been around for so long, but it still holds. Obviously, I wasn't there when it first opened, but it still holds the same feelings today walking in as it did my first time walking through the doors, and that says something about kind of the magic of the resort. Okay. The smells, the theming throughout the entire place, the restaurants are themed to the resort, the rooms are themed to the resort, the you know, the foliage outside, foliage inside, it just, you know, the cast members, that you know, they greet you with aloha and everything. It's just really, really well done.
Okay. Peter, you want to go with your best as well, too? Oh, I said two, right, Stacey? Let's go with just one. Pete, you want to go with your
best?
This
sounds good.
Well, I have four for my four most themed and my four least themed.
Okay, you tell me. You tell me, do you want to go like Stacey and just start off with your home run, or do you want to go with your single to start off with?
I'll go with my single to start.
All right, so you're going to number
even
four.
Because my end all is the same.
Okay.
So... my number four most themed actually is Pop Century.
Tell me why.
Have you seen it?
Okay, so I'm going to embarrass myself.
I mean, no, you haven't. I forgot the true Monaco wearer of
yes.
the group. He's never set foot on a
I cannot be. I cannot be bothered with Pop
Century. I mean, it's themed around pop culture.
Okay.
Each building has its own icon, whether it's a three-story tall Rubik's Cube or an eight-track tape or a bowling pin or a Dunkin' yo-yo or, you know, a three-story tall can of Play-Doh. There's theming everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, this theming is more cartoonish and isn't as I don't want to say adult, but isn't as more grown up as the theming at, say, the Polynesian. But it is still very heavily themed.
Interesting. How about the food? What's the food like, Pete?
It's a food court. I mean, it's a value. So, but even the food court, you know, like their signature dessert is their tie-dye cheesecake.
Okay.
You know, tie-dye straight out of the 60s and 70s. Again, sticking to that pop culture
okay.
theme.
If I offered you $129 a night at Pop Century or $129 a night at the best Disney Springs Good Neighbor Resort?
I'd stay at Pop.
Okay. Well, I guess that speaks highly of that then. Okay. Good pick. Let me join you in your search here. I'm going to go number four, Pete, all right? I'm going to go with my single. I'm going to go with a bunt, all right? I'm going to be a fast hitter. I'm going to lay down the bunt. I'm going to beat it out for a single. I'm going to go with the Wilderness Lodge. And the Wilderness Lodge only because of the decor. Not necessarily the food options. I've never actually been in Artist Point. But for the decor. From the lobby to the hallways to the carpeting. It has that thick rustic look. Those thick logs. There's something even on the grounds when you walk around. Even right now with the refurbishment that's brand new. It looks like it's been there for 60, 70 years. I know the cabins that sit out now on Bay Lake, but those, they inherited it. It looks like it belongs, and where it sits among those tall pine trees, those, I'm assuming they're white pines out there, and those cypress trees, it looks like it belongs right there. From the moment you walk into that lobby and you hear that background loop, which, of course, I have seven or eight of those songs saved in my YouTube favorites channel, it grabs you, and you think to yourself immediately, like, I'm in the lobby of a great national park right now. So, doesn't help to have that. Doesn't hurt to have that.
That's what that resort is actually themed off yep. of, is the lodges at the national parks.
Correct. And it doesn't hurt at all. That pool, which plays right off that waterfall, which plays off that green area that's nestled in between the Wilderness Lodge, it's a great, great combination. So, my number four is the Wilderness Lodge.
Okay.
Stacy?
All right. My next one is Animal Kingdom Lodge. You know, it reminds me a lot of Wilderness Lodge, the Grand Lobby when you walk in. you know, the dark woods and all of the really, really cool artifacts that they sprinkle throughout the building. I mean, they're on every floor. You know, you're walking through the halls and there's just, you know, a case with some artifacts by the elevators usually and things like that. Like, that's such a cool touch of the Animal Kingdom Lodge. But obviously the animals are a huge draw here. Going past any window along the lobby or down the hallways, you look out and you can see the giraffes and zebras, and it's just super cool how they do that. But the favorite part of the theming, I think, of the Animal Kingdom Lodge for me are the cast members, and all of kind of the rhythm and the beat of the entire place. I mean, there's always things going on. There's drumming happening a lot of the times. There's children's activities, but they all really just focus on the place. You know, they all focus on the lodge, and it all pulled together just really just brings you into, it makes you feel like you're someplace else while you're in the middle of Florida.
You know, I'd expand upon that, other than it appears on my list too as well, so I'll save my comments other than saying I completely agree that it is one of the most immersive themed resorts at Walt Disney World, absolutely. So
if she takes my number three most themed, because that was, she's now picked my one and my two.
Am I making an enemy of you now?
I can just kind of call it in for the rest of the show. You guys can cut back to me at the end.
No.
I'll do some online shopping or something.
No, you know what? I want to know why, though, Pete. You know, I want to know why. I want to know why those are your number one and number two when it gets to you. But let's go with your number three, big guy. What's your number three?
Well, she can't take this one because it's my turn now.
Okay.
And it's Port Orleans.
Which one?
Both. I just have Port Orleans together.
You can't do that. You can't do that, Pete.
I just did.
You just took like 4,000 hotel rooms. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me why.
You know, I just think the theming they've done with, especially like French Quarter, they've really kind of, they followed it all the way through. And it's not like the trashy New Orleans Mardi Gras, like, hey, look, she looks like she's had too many drinks, let's offer her some beads kind of a deal. It's a very fun atmosphere there.
Pete, I've walked around with beads. People just stare at me funny. They're like, what are you doing here, sir?
Yeah,
we're going to call the police on you, sir. We are going to call the police.
What did you do to get those beads?
Yeah, exactly.
Or what are you asking other people to do to get those beads?
What? What?
Riverside, of course, the theming, again, it's, you just have that bayou kind of, you know, that feel. And I think it's done very well. Not to mention Yeehaw Bob is there. It's always a good time when you go see his show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of these for me are based on the environment and the feeling I get when I'm there, as opposed to, you know, the food choices or anything like that. But in the defense of the food choices, that is the only place you can get beignets in Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Michael?
Well, actually, I think House of Blues might have them on like their Sunday brunch, but maybe.
Pete, do you know Michael Black used to make beignets at the French Quarter food court? That was one of his jobs. So I'm going to echo your sentiments, but I'm cutting it in half because, well, you'll find out why, but I'm going to cut it in half. Port Orleans French Quarter is my number three, and I tell you why it is, and I'm definitely cutting it in half, and I'm not including Riverside, because there's continuity. From the moment you walk in the door, there's a feeling of New Orleans, and that starts at the lobby. It continues in the food court, even though the food court, since they've redone the food court, it seems a little different now, a little more sterile, but it continues in the food court, it continues in the pool. It continues in every room, in every building, in every street and street sign and cobblestone path.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same theme from start to finish. I cannot say that about Riverside. So we'll talk about that one later on. But for me, I'm putting French Quarter as my number three. There's no doubt. As a matter of fact, as a moderate, I might have moved it up even more if they had a better food option. It's the food court that actually brought it down. But if they had a better food option, it might have been number one or number two. Stacy, what's your number three?
My next one is Art of Animation.
Okay.
I have never stayed at Art of Animation, but we've gone to the food court there and walked around a little bit. But from pictures that I've seen, the theming is just amazing, especially what draws me the most, I think, is the Cars area. I actually think I've seen pictures of your family there, Chris, on Facebook or something. Maybe I'm making this up, but
that's impossible.
No, I was there.
They don't go to the values.
Okay, on this day we did, Pete. We wanted to see how everyone else was, right? We were just testing it out.
Let's see what the other half lives like. The other 99%, Chris.
No, it was a great day. We met Michael, Christina, Jordan, and Cameron, and we played around in the playground. We walked around, took some great pictures. It was a really cool afternoon. So there's a Theme Park Brothers video. It's got BB playing with Cameron. It was really fun.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of when I'm thinking about this, but yeah, it's just super well themed, the different areas, the different movies, and the rooms look really cool too. That's one of the ones that our family can fit in since it holds six people. Mm-hmm. We just haven't taken the leap yet just because the price of the room, even though it's, you know, listed as a value resort, is still a little bit steep. And sometimes, you know, we think, would we rather stay in a cabin? Would we rather stay at Art of Animation or do a one-bedroom DVC room? So it's, you know, we have to look at the prices a little bit. But we'll stay there for sure at some point. But the pool's really cool, too. I love the fact that you can go underwater and hear the music. I think that that's a place where you can do that. And the food court is pretty amazing. There's just lots of different choices there, very diverse choices. Not your typical theme park food court food. So I think they do a really nice job.
Pete, you've been there, Art of Animation?
Nope, never set foot on it.
Never set foot on it. Stacy, I agree with you. If I had a spot for number five, it would be Art of Animation. I've never stayed, but we visit nearly every time, only because we love walking. When you get past the lobby and you hit, you know, the pool, if you turn right, you end up walking through, almost through like a miniature version of Cars Land. From the cozy cone they have out there to pretty much every vehicle is out there on display. It's pretty intense. I mean, it's wonderfully themed. They threw everything they had at it. They wanted to make sure that, okay, so we're taking this value resort, but we're going to make it so immersive that it's going to be one you want to come back to year after year after year. They did an awesome job with it. We visited every time we're there. See, Pete? We visited every time we're there. See that?
How many times have you been there since it opened?
Okay, twice.
Okay.
But that was twice. That was two times ago, Pete, all right?
I wouldn't get too high on yourself for this, dude.
I'm just saying. It'll be one we visit every time from this point, all right? You had to go and ruin that, all right? You're up. I hope Stacy steals all of yours.
She already has half of them. So I'm number two. I've already said, and somebody's already used, Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, by the way, Stacy, congratulations.
Yeah, I saw your...
Where's this
one at now?
That's Animal Kingdom Lodge.
AKO, okay.
We're excited that we're kind of moving forward. So
you'll notice the two highest themed ones she's had, she owns that.
Yes. True, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Pete. She's a full monocle wearer just as well, too.
Yes, she is.
So tell me why, specifically. What really catches your eye when you walk in?
You know, it's, again, the way, just the architecture itself. If you look at the building from, let's say you have one of the Savannah View rooms on the inside, mm-hmm, in the horseshoe. If you look back at the rest of the building, it's just a very well thought out design. And then the fact that they have this almost hut thatched roof sections, and every so often where they're like a round turret almost, mm-hmm, I really like it. The fact that Sanaa is over there sure doesn't hurt either.
I couldn't agree more. So much so that I made it number two as well, Pete. So, and here's why. I'm going to keep on working off yours. When you walk in and you smell the smell of the lobby, and it's not like they stuck a food court in, though they have the Mara downstairs by the pool. But, I mean, the restaurants play upon that. Everything is African-inspired. Even the buffet is African-inspired. The cast is, the artifacts, like Stacy mentioned, the sounds, the smells, the looks, even the bathroom, even the shower. The shower's tile are glazed over to represent, well, actually, it's the Lion King, but essentially, you know, you get that vibe from there, that African safari vibe. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, it's not Jumbo House, it's not a Kidani Village, it's both combined. When you think of how big that really is, that property, it's enormous to be that immersive, that well-themed from start to finish. As a matter of fact, Kidani, at nighttime, the lobby is kind of like a miniature version, the exterior of what Jumbo House is, but they had these miniature lanterns set in, like, the outside of it. At nighttime, if you ever were to enter the lobby in at night, it is, like, one of the most beautiful things you'll see on property. Have you ever stayed at Kidani, Stacy?
Yes, we stayed there a couple of years ago.
Did you ever look at the outside lobby when you're coming in? It's gorgeous.
I don't know if I ever focused on that, but I definitely will the next time.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. They thought of everything, and I know it's newer, so of course they're thinking, well, let's try and theme it out to the max. But absolutely, number two for me as well is Animal Kingdom Lodge. All right, Stace, number four, and then Pete and my number one.
All right, so my next one is the Grand Floridian, and that is just because of its grandness. I think we've gone a few times to restaurants. We've never stayed at the Grand Floridian, but we've gone at different times of the day. So just kind of what sticks out in my mind is we went one time for a dinner at 1900 Park Fair. We walked in when the orchestra was playing in the lobby and people were downstairs dancing around the orchestra. And it just was, it felt like we had entered into a different time. And if theming can bring you into a different place, it's doing a really, really great job. So just the details of that lobby are just spectacular. And like I said, I've never stayed in a room, but the theming of the lobby and the different floors that we were on just kind of walking around where everything was thought of.
I couldn't agree more. I'm purposely leaving it vague because it's going to appear again. Peter, how about your number one?
My number one, again, has already been taken, and that's the Polynesian.
Okay.
I mean, from the grounds to the way you're greeted by cast members, you know, I mean, the whole nine yards. You walk into the main longhouse or the great ceremonial lodge, and you check in. They tell you how to get to your room. You walk out the back door of the main lobby, and it's, you know, you don't feel like you're in Florida. Mm-hmm. At least I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that resort really is, to me, the best themed in all of Disney World.
And I know it's got a special place in your heart. I know that...
It does. So, yeah, I am probably a little biased.
Okay.
But, again, it holds that place for a reason, too, though.
Okay, let me get to my number one. And I would do something cheap, like say it's a tie. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to give an honorable mention later on. But my number one is the Grand Floridian, like yours, Stacy. So, you know, if you ever looked, the Grand Floridian looks just like the Hotel Del Coronado in Coronado, California. It has that red roof design. They modeled it after this hotel. You know, Michael Eisner decided to model it after this hotel. And he wanted it to look like 1900, as far as, you know, the year, the hotels that were popular on the beachfront, up and down the coast. And, you know, I know we joke about wearing monocles and whatnot, but when that monorail stops at the Grand Floridian and you get off, now, I'll be honest, I've never stayed there. I haven't as of yet. Hard to believe. I'm going to have to rectify that. But when you walk into that lobby, I know the Animal Kingdom Lodge is impressive. And I know the Wilderness Lodge is impressive. And that's impressive because of the beauty of it. But the aura and the ambiance when you walk into the Grand Floridian is like no other resort on property. The Polynesian used to have it, but it was taken away. You know what I'm talking about, Pete? When they took away that waterfall, even though the waterfall, that used to actually create that same aura and ambiance. You felt you were transported someplace different. I know you're transported to a National Parks Lodge in the Wilderness Lodge, but as soon as you walk in the Grand Floridian, all of a sudden, you feel like you've got your ascot on, like you've got your monocle on. You feel like Thurston Howell, like when you walk in there. I'm ready to walk around with a glass of tea in my hand, with my saucer. It is immersive. And the food options, as far as Meisner's Lounge, you know, I know I'm not a big lounge person. I'm not a big bar drinker, but I know it plays upon the same atmosphere. The outside areas, being that it's, you know, designed for the wedding pavilion is in there because it's one of the most opulent spots with one of the best views on property. Just the look of it, just even across the path, across the Seven Seas Lagoon from the monorail, when you look back at it, it just looks like the theming exudes from one spot to the other. It's hard to describe. I can't even describe it. It just looks opulent. And you feel that way when you walk into it. Stacey, I'm not vocalizing this one correctly for my number one, but what is that feel that you get when you walk into that lobby?
No, I think you did a really great job. It's just, you just feel like you're just in a different place. It's pretty amazing.
I want to don my baby blue tuxedo, like Dumb and Dumber, walk in there with my big top hat and my cane whenever I enter that lobby. That's probably not the right image, but that, for sure, for me, is my number one. That is the epitome of theming. You feel like you've just become a multimillionaire three times over when you walk into that lobby. So, please, I know most people that are staying there aren't. They just have saved up for that one trip. But that's the feel, and that's complete Disney immersion for you. Okay, let's rain on some parades here. Let's talk about the worst themed ones, all right? Let's go ladies first. And Stacey, let's build up to the worst. Let's go with your number four, okay?
Yep, that sounds good. And it was a little bit harder to come up with than the favorites, because obviously with the favorites, those are places you've been before. There's a lot of resorts at Walt Disney World that I've never been. So I didn't include them on my list. So these are just places that I have actually been to. But my number four is All-Star Movies. We stayed there at actually our first trip as a family, way back when Griffin was just a tiny little baby and the other two were toddlers and preschoolers. And it was fine. It was, you know, not something that I didn't like, but it just didn't really do it for me. The big, tall, statuesque characters were cool. We took pictures with them. But that's kind of as far as the theming went in my eyes. Now, when we were there, it was before, I think, any refurbishments had been done in the rooms. And I don't know how much has been done since then. But the rooms were kind of, it felt a little bit shabby at that point and pretty small. So I think that kind of made, with a big family, it's hard with a big family to be in a small room. So that might have overshadowed things a little bit.
Okay. I can honestly say I've not ever been there. Pete, have you been there?
No.
All-Star Movies?
I have not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can't contribute much, but All-Star Movies is your number four.
Right.
Peter, what's your number four?
This is where Chris stops talking to me. Saratoga Springs.
Tell me why.
It does nothing for me. It just feels like a really big resort that could be plopped down in the middle of Wisconsin Dells or anywhere else.
Okay. I can't disagree with you. You know, it was retrofitted to the Disney Institute. So I can't say that the theming has always been its big hang-up, right? I mean, we talked about that with Scott and B, that it struggles to find its identity. It's supposed to be idyllic upstate New York with serene walking paths and whatnot. But those are buzzwords. But yeah, exactly.
It's marketing talk.
You know what? I can't say I disagree with you. Your opinion is
shared by a lot. I know you love Saratoga Springs.
Well, if I loved it, I would have put... I do love it. I do love it because I it's where I stayed quite a bit. But it didn't make my top four. But your opinion is shared by quite a few people, Pete. So you're not the only person there. Let's talk then. Let's see if this makes sense to you. And I know you're going to be shocked. Not necessarily with this one. I'm going to say the Caribbean Beach Resort. That's my number four. And I'll explain why for Caribbean Beach. I don't know if they did it any favors. I know, so let's say post-construction is one thing, but we're talking pre-construction Caribbean Beach Resort. The fact of the matter is, they've named it Martinique and Jamaica and Aruba and whatnot. And I know they're all islands and countries in the Caribbean. But outside of Centertown and outside of the pool, which looks like something off Tortuga, I don't know if that really... It doesn't feel the same way that French Quarter does to me. It doesn't immerse me in that environment. It feels just like condominiums stacked amongst itself. You can't tell me that it's a unique tropical island flair. We're in Florida. Every resort is a unique tropical island flair because they all have palm trees. They all share that look. They're all pastel pink and pastel blue. That's Florida, you know? There was nothing in that resort that really made me feel, and I've not stayed, but we visited many times. Don't ask me how many, Pete. There's nothing that made me feel like I was exclusively on a Caribbean island when I was there. And it has the weakest entrance sign of any resort in Walt Disney World. You know how some of those signs are so elaborate and enormous? The Caribbean Beach, it could fit in my backyard. It's like 3 feet by 8 feet. It's for a resort of its size, that entrance is underwhelming, at least in my mind. So, Stacey, you ever been there?
Yeah, we stayed there a couple of times.
Loved it? Hated it?
Well, it's coming up on my list, so I'm not going to say too much about it.
Oh, see,
<this point.
laughs> yeah, we all have to be quiet, right? Because we're all trying to save our comments for our own. Okay, go ahead. You're up, number three.
My next one is Coronado Springs.
Okay.
And I actually really, really love this resort. It's in my top three favorite resorts at Walt Disney World. But the theming of it, I think, could stretch a little bit more. We loved our room. The room was recently refurbished. It had a few little touches, but it was just very kind of clean, and that's actually what we kind of liked that in hotel rooms, so that's one of the reasons why we really liked this resort. But beyond the pool, which was really cool, the pyramid, and that's really it. I mean, I think that the architecture might be kind of reminiscent of the Southwest type architecture. But it doesn't really feel like a whole lot of theming going on. Even in the main building with the restaurant and things like that, there's touches here and there. But there's nothing when I walked in. I was like, whoa, this is supposed to be Southwestern or anything. Little touches, but nothing that blew me away in terms of theming.
Pete, what are your thoughts? You're a honeymooner.
Yeah, I was a honeymooner there.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
You know, it doesn't make me feel like I'm in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. This resort does, I do have a soft spot for this resort, like we said, because I did honeymoon there, but I can't completely disagree. I don't think it's one of the four worst themed, but it's definitely not one of their best themed either.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to put it.
It's a middle of the pack kind of theming. to me at least.
Yeah. You know what? I can't disagree with anything you just said. It is middle of the pack. It's definitely not in the top. It might be towards the bottom. I happen to like the resort because I like the walking path around the lake there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very relaxing at nighttime. But you're right. There are many times you stop and you look around and you're right. It's okay. It's just not fantastic. So
right.
Good pick. Pete, what's number three?
Number three least themed resort on property for me is the Swan and Dolphin.
Okay.
Other than the icons on the outside of the buildings, being on the wrong ones, I don't feel like they have any theming at all.
Yeah. Have you ever stayed at the Swan and the Dolphin?
No.
No?
I've had no desire to. Like, I know that the big swan is on top of the Dolphin Hotel and the big fish is on top of the Swan Hotel.
Okay.
I guess they look at each other, like the swan looks at the swan, and I don't get it.
Okay. Stacy, have you ever stayed at the Swan or the Dolphin?
No, and I've never even set foot in either of those buildings, but I think that we want to go check out the ice cream parlor or something the next time that we're there, but yeah, I've never been there.
Good call, Pete. We've walked into both, but like it's never been on our list of things. Like when we walk around Crescent Lake, it's like, okay, we got to step off here, we got to step off here.
They're just Hiltons.
It's correct. We bypass it every time, even when we were looking for a place desperately for a breakfast buffet. And one of the two has a breakfast buffet. And we were like, yeah, we could do that, but it's not very memorable to walk through there. Now, I will say this much. There's a whole battalion of people that love those resorts. So perhaps we're missing out on something. We haven't given it a fair shake. We should probably
consider. I'm not saying they're bad hotels. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's a bad resort. We're putting this list together solely based on the theming of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as theming goes, to me, it's non-existent at those two at that location.
Okay. Okay, I can't disagree. Let's stay right in that area because I'm going to tell you that I have always thought this. I think the Beach Club is one of the most poorly themed resorts at Walt Disney World. People love the Beach Club. I don't know if they love the Beach Club.
They love the Beach Club for the location, not for the theme.
Yes, for the location. And they love it for Storm Along Bay. But as far as when you walk into that lobby, you tell me what in that lobby makes you feel like the Beach Club. You know, it's... I could even understand that kind of... I don't even lump the Yacht Club into this because it feels kind of like a yacht-ish type experience. Like I would walk into like the clubhouse of a yacht club on Belmont Harbor in Chicago. But the Beach Club, nothing.
Have you been to the clubhouse for the Columbia Yacht Club? It ain't that nice.
Well, you don't understand my point though. But, like this is the Beach Club. Nothing inside of there tells me it's a beach club. I would be more agreeable if the boardwalk had those old-fashioned bathing suits plastered everywhere outside of Cape May Cafe, where they have the umbrellas standing up, which are beach-type themed. Nothing in that resort tells me beach club. It's just a resort that happens to be on a beach that's hardly usable anymore if you ever wanted to use it in the first place. That's the theme. It doesn't do anything for me other than have one of the best locations on property. So
can't argue there.
All right, Stacy, you were up.
Yep, that was mine. Also, was the Beach Club
number two?
Yep.
Okay.
So it same things. I mean, we stayed there a few years back. Really love the location. Really love Storm Along Bay. Really love the smell of the lobby. Like those things were really nice, and it was a nice hotel. I mean, it makes you feel a little bit like Grand Floridian walking in. You feel kind of like, oh, this is a nice upscale hotel. But I agree, the theming isn't really there. But that being said, I've never stayed at a nice hotel on the beach someplace. So maybe that, I mean, and I don't know if that, if the Beach Club is specifically modeled after another hotel as the Grand Floridian is, you know, modeled after another hotel. So maybe I'm just missing the theming, but beyond location and the pool, I really, it's a nice hotel. It's just not, it doesn't scream theme to me.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I thought, oh man, I don't know if a lot of people are going to feel that same way. And your thoughts are my thoughts. I love hearing you say that. So cool. Big guy, what's number two?
Number two for me is the Grand Floridian.
Oh, okay. Well, this is interesting. Tell me why.
It does not resonate with me at all.
I'm taking your monocle, by the way, but okay.
That's fine. You can have it. I'm tired of getting garbage about having it anyway. But I'm... To me, it's just... It feels so stuffy. I feel so out of place. I can't enjoy being there. It's a turnoff for me to even go there.
Stacy, so next year when I buy you and me these wonderful mink coats and we go walking around the Grand Floridian, remind me not
enjoy.
To buy. Yeah, we're not going to buy anything like that at all.
You'll have to make mine a faux fur coat.
A faux fur coat. Okay. Okay. Okay,
I actually want to be there just to see Chris sweating in a fur coat at the Grand Floridian.
I'll be wearing my bathing suit and flip-flops. Don't worry. It'll be a good look.
Yeah, nobody will give you any sideways looks for that.
It'll be a good look. All right, you're the Grand Floridian. Let me keep you on that same body of water. Let me tell you that...
Oh, don't take my number one. Please don't do this.
I've always thought the Contemporary... Hang on. And you,
all right, night, everybody. I don't need to be here anymore.
You can tell me why on yours, and I'll tell you why on mine here. Outside of the shape and outside of the monorail going through it, and outside of watching the documentary where U.S. Steel creates this sliding drawer hotel, mm-hmm. which can be built.
Yeah, that backfired horribly because they couldn't produce them fast enough.
I swear, when I walk into that hotel, you know, I'm always awe-inspired by the Mary Blair mural, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on in that hotel. I don't know if anyone knows what's going on. Is that 70s future? Is that innovation, creation? I don't know what that is. And I'll be honest, you know what? I've struggled to just gain perspective on it when I'm there. When you sit at Chef Mickey's, you literally feel like it was kind of shoehorned in at the corner there. Yeah, definitely high in my list of most poorly themed, I guess, really cool for 1972, you know, but I don't know. I've always just thought to myself, when I walk in there, yeah, it's neat. Train goes through it. Train leaves from it. You can take everything else but the mural, you know? So, yeah. All right. Stace, you're up.
Okay, my number one is Caribbean Beach, or Caribbean Beach, however you want to say it. A lot of the same reasons that Chris said before, so I'll try not to repeat all of those. But we've stayed there, like I said, a couple of times. I actually really loved their original food court. That's where I felt like their theming was the best, because walking in there, you feel like you're in a marketplace. I did not like how the setup was necessarily, but it felt very, very well themed. And I love their pool, but it doesn't. To me, it just doesn't fit with the theme of Caribbean Beach. I know that it's like Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever, but it felt like a little bit of a stretch, but a very cool pool. Otherwise, it's not my favorite. The color scheme wasn't my favorite. The way that the resort spread out, it just didn't really do it for me. We stayed there a couple of times just really because it was the most economical option for us, with being a bigger family. We could fit all of us in the room, with Britta being under three at the time. So it kind of was what is the least we could spend, and that's what came up. So,
and it still is right now, according to Michael, which was our update back a couple months ago with the construction specials. They're still giving out construction specials that are you know, at value pricing. So if you're going to go to yeah. parks for 5 days, this is a good place to consider. But if you're
yeah, gonna... we got in last time. We were there when they were giving out the $75 a night gift cards. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we got a room discount at like the normal, I think it was like 25% or 20% for the moderates, whatever it was. So, I mean, it was well below a value price. Plus, we got that gift card. It was a really great deal. We could not turn it down.
But if you expect awesome theming and full immersion, you are not going to get
it. Yeah. No, it was just a room to sleep in at that point. So,
hey, Pete, surprise us with your number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
tell me why.
You know, for a lot of the same things you said, I mean, it just doesn't. It just feels like a nice hotel.
Okay.
But it doesn't, like. And you've got all this like steel and white and blue, and then you get this Mary Blair, which is beautiful, but is like all these oranges and rust colors, and it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. And they put these LED or halogen spotlights on these wires in Chef Mickey that are like straight up 1997. That's 20 years ago, folks. I don't like the design, and like the interior design is just, it's so outdated.
Okay. Let me help you then. Let's help Disney right now. Stacy, tell me this is a good idea, because I'm widely renowned for every idea I have is always a good one. So Pete, what if they would take the contemporary right now? And, you know, of course, you know, like a normal American family, we sit around the dinner table and we watch YouTube videos of, like, Walt Disney World 1973, you know, the park videos. We watch those. That's what you do, right? That's what every family does, right, Stacy?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
We do that.
So
yeah.
We've seen the contemporary so outdated. It used to be browns and golds. It used to have, like, glass palm trees.
Back in the 70s when that was contemporary.
Okay. What if they did that right now? What if the redo was retro 70s style in the contemporary? I could almost see that resort being back in style, out of style. And that would be kind of a cool facelift if it was modern material. But you're right now. I don't know what in God's place is going on in that place right now. That's for sure.
You know what? If you really want it to like have that retro cool feel, model it after Future World. With the blues and the purples and the stuff where they just redid the rock work.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can, it's the only hotel you can see from inside the park.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go that far with it, go all the way and just essentially turn it into an extension of Future World.
Okay. At least there's an idea. Let me play off your idea. Let me give you my number one. I'm going to cheat here. I'm going to go to Bay Lake Tower. Not because of the view that you get from the park, not because of the best location on property, which is, I mean, it's literally walking distance to Magic Kingdom. If you could tell me what the theme of Bay Lake Tower is, you're the first person. Because there is no theme
to Bay Lake Tower.
There is no theme. It was simply a vertical structure that capitalized upon the Disney Vacation Club. So,
exactly.
Now, I will say this. I would love to own at Bay Lake Tower. And I love to stay just for the convenience. But if this argument, this exercise was the best and worst theme, the answer to the Bay Lake Tower is, well, there is no answer. You know? Stacy, what do you think about Bay Lake Tower as far as theming goes?
So I really, really love Bay Lake Tower. I think that might be, that would be my number one place I'd want to own. I really, really love it. It really doesn't have much of a theme, but it's both Scott and my style of accommodations, like very, very clean. It had some cool Disney artwork in the rooms. The pool was kind of weird, but I really like it, but I agree. The theming's not up to par, I don't think, for what it is.
I mean, Bay Lake Tower was the first DVC room I ever actually saw.
Yeah.
And it was a Doorway to Dreams at Woodfield.
I think we all agree. spot A1 on like Disney World property and the ability to walk to Magic Kingdom without like breaking a sweat. It's like, are you kidding me? But I just think to go vertical with that steel structure, I know they wanted to play off kind of the steel structure kind of type thing going on in the Contemporary, but it came up with zero. As far as theming of the resort, I know there's clean... Well, you have to have clean lines. It's steel. You have to have clean lines. It is a zero or a one as far as theming goes.
Here's another thing, though. If they hyper-theme Bay Lake Tower, how much worse does that make the Contemporary look?
Correct. That's true.
Or vice versa. They can't all of a sudden come up with this great theme for the Contemporary and not extend it into Bay Lake Tower, because then it would look even more ridiculous.
Now, it's only because of our ignorance. Maybe there is a theme we don't just get. You know who we need to talk to about this? We should talk to Jim Korkus about this.
Yeah,
I'm sure
that'd be a bad idea.
I'm sure he would highlight some themes we had no idea that existed, both in the Contemporary and over at Bay Lake Tower. So maybe we'll make this a short list. One of the questions we ask Jim when he comes on next. So
yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Anyways, all right. So we went through a whole bunch of lists here. I can repeat them, but you know what? I'm going to take a picture and put them on the Dubs page of our best four and our worst four for each of us. So you know what? We've been going for about an hour. We appreciate you sticking with us today. I did want to say one thing. We've got a whole bunch of new reviews, We've had more than a handful of reviews recently on iTunes, and we appreciate everybody doing that. That is important. I always used to hear podcasts say, hey, give us a review on iTunes. It helps us. I never quite understood why. And you know, being on this end, I do understand now. So if you do help give us a review, a good review, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't even. It gets us out there and it moves us up in the search ranking so other people can find the show. So we would appreciate that. We would love to be able to grow the show with you guys. So if you could give us a review on iTunes, on Stitcher, on where do you listen, Stacey? Where's your podcast medium?
Overcast.
Overcast. We're on Player FM. We're pretty much everywhere podcasts are heard. We're not on Spotify yet. I've actually pulled the plug on that. I'm not quite comfortable with Spotify's user agreement right now, so I've stopped that. But we're everywhere else podcasts are heard. We would love a review. So, anyways, for my friends, for my amigos, Peter and Stacy, thank you for joining us. Have a great day.
See ya.
Bye-bye.